If you've enjoyed the music tonight, can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I got to tell you, I've enjoyed it all, but there was a couple little highlights tonight. First of all, the children's choir. Yeah. Let me tell you, that's a children's choir that doesn't kid around. That was like the most macho children's choir. That was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Hey, and then we started with, and then you guys sang too, Sound the Battle Cry. Man, did that bring back memories. We did that at my wedding. And and 38 years later, man, we're still sounding the battle cry for Jesus, Marilee and I. Amen. No, I think we did Footsteps of Jesus or something like that, but that was really good. Always enjoy the music here, and it's been great. Now, I want to tell you, we've had an incredible day of instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, that's what's right, for reproof, that's what's wrong, for correction, that's how to get it right, and for instruction in righteousness, that's how to keep it right. Most preaching you will hear will not be instruction in righteousness. That's the how-to. Boy, today we got a lot of it. Now, we got doctrine today as well. I'll tell you, old Dr. Jim did as good on James chapter 2 as I've ever heard in my life. That was just really good. And we've just heard so many good things today. I've never heard Brother Hardy before. And just, I'm telling you, that session this morning was amazing. It was such a blessing. But I do have to say this. Is Brother Hardy here? Where's my brother? Brother Hardy, I don't know you well at all, but I just want to share something with you if I could. I just got to tell you, I have never met a man that is as disciplined as you with a diet that you are reading the expiration date on a Nutter Butters cookie and not eating it. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now, I just want you to know, I don't think I've ever read an expiration date on anything I've ever eaten in my life, okay? But I'm sure not going to read it on something I'm not supposed to eat, my brother. And that was quite, I mean, what discipline that is. I'm going like, if I'm reading the expiration date on a Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich, I'm eating it, man. I don't care what the date's on it. I really don't care. But that was really something. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I have to say a couple things about a couple of the men that are here. In all my years of pastoring, I never had a greater week of revival than we did with Dr. Flanders and a man named Cranston Knowles from the Bahamas. They both came out to be with us. Actually, Cranston was there for a whole month to prepare our people, and then Brother Flanders came, and that was without a doubt one of the greatest weeks and months, and really began to change our church out there as well. And then Dr. Jim brought a group of special forces out twice. The first time he came, I tried to tell him, I said, now let me just tell you, we'd only been there for about 2 years, and there was a lot of things that had to happen. And I told Dr. Jim, I said, man, I just got to tell you now, these teenagers will never hear preaching like they will hear from you. And he just kept all week long, hey, don't worry about it, Brother Shetler. Brother Shetler, everything's fine. Everything's good. He preached that first message. Ice has never been thicker. I mean, our kids had never heard preaching like that. And that's exactly what they needed. It was the first time I'd ever was acquainted with corporate prayer. And we had that every day. And that just touched my heart. But it got worse. It didn't get better. Tuesday, it was just like, oh man, this is just not working. And Dr. Jim said, don't, just keep praying. It's all right. Everything's just where it needs to be. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know where you're preaching, buddy, but it's not the same place I'm listening, man. I'm just telling you. I'm going like, wow, this is amazing. But Thursday, the thing just broke loose. And I'm telling you this, I don't believe Valley Christian Academy has ever been the same since. It definitely was in the next following 5 years that I was there. He came back another time and just added on to that, and the Lord just worked. So both Dr. Jim and Brother Flanders have such a special place in my wife and my life as well. Our text tonight is found in Genesis 45. And we'll get there in just a moment, but let's jump over to where we're going to spend, I believe, most of our time, I think maybe in all the sessions, definitely in mine tomorrow, in Acts chapter 4. So jump over to Genesis 45, get it all ready to go, and we'll move over there in just a moment. But I want to start in Acts chapter 4, if we could. Now, we did get incredible instruction today, and I believe that would be true for this conference and through everything. But as I've been reading and been studying, when I heard it was boldness, I personally, and I said this the first time I think Dr. Jim called me or whatever, first person I ever talked to when they invited me to this conference, told me what the name was, I said this: I do not believe in our fundamentalism and in our country right now and in our Christianity, there is a word that we need more than boldness. I believe it is absolutely paramount. In some way, aspect, or whatever, wherever I do a conference, a camp, or whatever, we have got to start becoming bold. Well, Acts chapter 4 is a great chapter. If you studied the book of Acts, you'll just keep seeing the boldness. And by the way, also in the epistles, the word bold, boldness, is amazing how many times it comes out. But I was thinking about Acts chapter 4, verse 13 for tonight's message. What were they bold? What was their source of boldness? What caused them to have boldness? Now, if you said the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that would absolutely be a right answer and a test I would give, because it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it was their relationship with Christ that he was alive that gave them their source of boldness. I want you to see Acts 4:13, because I want to tell you who, not what we're going to talk about tonight, but who we're going to talk, because until you understand the who, you're not going to understand the what you're bold about. In verse number 13, it says this: Now when they saw, isn't that interesting? Normally you would think you would hear boldness, but notice what it says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. Everyone together, would you finish the verse for me? That they had been with Jesus. Well, I gotta tell you, until you get a hold of Jesus, you're not gonna be bold. You, first of all, it all is established in Jesus. Now tonight, I want to preach to you about the one that we need to go into this world and be bold about. I want to preach to you about Jesus Christ tonight. And I'll tell you how I've chosen to do this. I'm a picture guy. I love pictures. On my phone, I checked it just before Caleb picked me up. I just was standing there in the lobby area. And I said, I just wonder how many I do have. I have 1,979 pictures on my phone. And I like pictures. And I go through pictures. And it's also because my prayer list, too. You know, you go through and go, oh, yeah, I got to pray for that kid at the camp. Oh, yeah, remember that? Yeah, I got to pray. So it becomes a good prayer list as well for me. But I have 1,979 pictures. I love pictures. And I think my Lord loves pictures. And basically, the Old Testament is a photo album. And it's a photo album of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at the sacrifices or you look at the tabernacle, you could not get better pictures of who and what Jesus did and who he is. But if you looked in human form, and there's many of them in the Old Testament, but there is no better picture of Jesus Christ in human form in the Old Testament than the man Joseph. And I want to tonight, I want to give you a picture of who we're going to be bold about in Jesus through an Old Testament patriarch in Joseph. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 45? I want to tell you when I got this message. About 25 years ago, I was doing a series on Joseph. I would have to tell you, in all of the series and all of the books of the Bible and all of the different topical expositional series I ever did, absolutely, Joseph would be one of the top 2, 3, at max 4 of all the series I've ever done in studying the Word of God was the life of Joseph. And then if I were to tell you, out of that series of Joseph that I did about 25 years ago, the most favorite moment I ever experienced, I think almost in ever studying the Word of God, came in my office when I was in Genesis 45. And I began to picture what exactly occurred at this moment. Everyone has the right to have their own opinion, all right? I personally believe this is the most dramatic moment of the entire Old Testament. Now, you say, Brother Shetler, I mean, we're talking Moses at the Red Sea. I know. We're talking like the shout just with the time that the walls of, I know. Hey, we're talking with the knife over Isaac. Yeah, well, that'd probably be number two, okay? But I believe that this is the most dramatic moment of the Old Testament. In order to understand that, you have to understand a little bit about a man named Jacob. Because to understand what he's about to hear right now and what he has gone through in his life, a lot of it's his own fault. Matter of fact, you know the three R's of Jacob, don't you? I mean, if you get the three R's of Jacob, you can understand his whole life. The three R's of Jacob, number one is reap. He reaped what he sowed. He reaped later than he sowed, and boy, did he reap more than he sowed. Number two is Rachel. In order to study the life of Jacob, you've got to understand his relationship with Rachel, because so much hinges on that. So much hinges on a woman that he absolutely loved and adored, waited 14 years, talked to Leah about how important Rachel was to Jacob. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to understand Jacob, you've got to understand the reaping sowing principle. You've got to understand Rachel. And number three, you got to understand revival. Because this is such an interesting man. This man experiences revival at different times in his life like almost no other Old Testament Bible character. Matter of fact, it is interesting that the very first time revival is ever mentioned in the Bible, it's right here in Genesis 45, and it has to do with Jacob. In Genesis chapter 45, and starting at verse 24, Joseph sends out and commissions his brothers to go back to get Dad and to let Dad know that Joseph is alive. Now, friend, you just got to stop for just a moment. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word in a minute, but just you got to understand what we've got here. You see, Jacob's whole life was about Rachel, but Rachel couldn't have any children. Rachel wasn't having any children. And Leah kept on having boy after boy, child after child. They threw in a couple concubines to the whole thing, but that didn't help things at all. That made things worse. Finally, Rachel has a child whose name is Joseph. But then she has another child, Benjamin, but in the birth of Benjamin, Rachel dies. So now the only connection that Jacob has any longer to Rachel are two boys, Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph is sold as a slave because of what his brothers did to him. But his brothers come back and tell Dad that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. Shows him the coat. At which time, now Jacob has lost Rachel and he's lost Joseph. The only connection now to the heart's love of his entire life is the youngest boy, Benjamin, son of my right hand. Benjamin is it. Well, you know the story of Joseph where the boys come back with food. Simeon has to stay. And the Zephaniah, who happens to be Joseph, who they had no clue it was their brother that they were bowing down to, said, if you ever come back, you bring back your youngest brother. Well, Jacob, Dad's going like, that ain't happening. Because the only thing I got left is Benjamin, and Benjamin's not going. Well, they're all going to die of starvation. So finally they convince Dad, you got to let us take Benjamin. Well, Jacob is saying, okay, but you got to bring him back. Judah does something. I think it's out of guilt because of what he did to his brother Joseph. He says, Dad, Benjamin will come back even if it's on my death. I'll take the place or whatever, which is very, at this point, like it's about time. One of the boys finally stood up to do something right. And Judah says that he will, and they go because they got to have food. Now, every day, Joseph is concerned about one thing, Jacob is concerned about one thing, and that is, will Benjamin come back? Benjamin's it now. Now, this poor man has reaped what he has sowed, deception. He has reaped it later, and he has reaped it more. Rachel now is gone. Joseph, he believes, is gone. And all he has left is Benjamin. Benjamin doesn't come back, Jacob's not going to live. He's going to die. So every day he waits to hear the news. And finally, the servants come running in. Jacob! Yaakov! Yaakov! They're coming back! Well, you know the first words out of Jacob. Is Benjamin there? Is Benjamin there? Is Benjamin there? I don't know, but they're coming back. They got wagons and everything. They're coming back. They're coming back. We pick up the story in verse 24. Would you stand with me in the reading of God's word? I believe the only thing that matches this moment is a woman early on a Sunday morning coming to a garden. And she's wondering why her Savior, Master, Lord is not in the tomb. And she hears someone behind who she thinks is the gardener. And he says, Mary. And I believe outside of the moment that Mary realizes my Savior has risen from the dead, the most dramatic moment in the Old Testament is right here. Verse 24, this is a great verse at a commissioning service. Joseph said to his brothers, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Number one, he knew his brothers, okay? But number two, what a great thing to say. You know what? That's what should be said to us Thursday night when we leave. See that ye fall not out by the way. What you've received, you stick with it. Verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. Now, folks, if you've got a dramatic imagination, an ounce of it, listen to me as I begin reading to verse 26. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, everyone together, what's the next word? Revived. First time it's mentioned in the entire Bible, but I want you to see this. Verse 28, and everyone together, what's the next word? Israel. Whoa, who is this? Jacob. Look at the verse before. His name is Jacob in verse 27. His name is what, everyone together, in verse 28? Israel. You know what? Jacob is his fleshly name. Israel is his godly name. When he revived, it isn't the man of the flesh any longer. Now it's a spiritual man. Isn't that an amazing thing? Jacob went from the fleshly man to the spiritual man when he knew Joseph was alive. My friend, when you get a picture of your risen Savior, you'll experience revival. Listen to this. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Father, tonight, through this incredible picture of Joseph, may the Savior be lifted up high. Father, tomorrow, the messages are going to encourage the delegates, the members of this church on staff, the college students that are here, you're going to encourage them to be bold with the grace of God behind them. May we understand who we're being bold about. A risen Savior who's alive. There is nothing happening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the United States, or planet Earth that Jesus Christ is not in control of and is not the Savior for. Father, I pray today that when we pillow our heads, all of the material that we have learned today, may we filter it through the person of Jesus Christ. For Father, our boldness is because of who we represent, the God of heaven who has the answers for mankind. May we lift up Jesus the way that you would want him lifted up tonight. Thank you for the pictures of the Old Testament, and this is an incredible story. Lord, may we see Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. So, I'm in my office, and I'm putting this thing all together. And I'm seeing this thing. And I'm thinking, oh man, this had to be amazing. Can you picture Jacob in that tent when the servant said, they're on their way. They're coming. They're on the horizon. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, please allow Benjamin to be alive. Oh, please. Oh, Rachel, Joseph. Oh, please, may Benjamin be alive. Now, I believe the first guy that came into that tent that day was a guy named Reuben. Reuben's the oldest, and he was not a good older brother. He was really to blame a lot for what the whole thing happened with Joseph. He was a terrible leader as an older brother. I think he had problems with jealousy and everything else. But when Reuben finds out that Joseph is alive, I gotta believe that Reuben has gotta be the first guy in that tent. And can you imagine that scene? Reuben comes running in and he says, Abba, Abba, you won't believe it. Oh, tell me, Reuben, tell me, please. Benjamin alive? Oh, Dad, Benjamin's alive. Let me tell you who else is alive. Joseph is alive. Oh, no, son, don't be doing that to me now. What are you talking about? Joseph is alive, Dad. Oh, no. Here's his coat. Here's his coat with all of it. Well, Dad, we'll talk to you about that later, but I'm just going to tell you. Dad, Joseph is alive. Now, I got to tell you, when Jacob heard those words, I know he had to say, how could he that was dead be alive? How could that happen? Well, I will tell you, Joseph is a picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is living. Jesus is alive. And I think a lot of times, why are we not bold? We have a risen Savior. Our Savior is living. He is alive. And that he is the main theme of the preaching of the first century. You cannot go through the book of Acts and not see the number one theme is the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he conquered death, he can meet any one of our needs. Amen. Caleb, where's Caleb tonight? Caleb, come on up here. Caleb has been a very good host. Hi, Caleb, I got a little something for you to help me with, okay, tonight? I got actually a couple things here. Okay, I got a 50-pound weight, okay? All right, do you weigh 50 pounds?
Yeah. Soaking wet.
Okay, so here you go. Okay, now I saw you reach over with the other hand. That's not a good beginning here. Okay, hold on. Now, I haven't seen it happen yet. But I'm believing in this guy. He's a good driver. He's a great host. I believe with one arm, Caleb can put that 50-pound weight over his head. You guys believe that? Well, we're going to give him a little countdown, a little 3, 2, 1, and we'll see if he can do it. I told him this. I said, he didn't know exactly what he was going to do, but I said, hey, you're going to have to pick this up. You think you can do it? I said, yeah. Well, I said, you know what? In front of 500 people, you could probably do anything, all right? So let's see if our man can do it. How many believe Caleb can do this? How many people believe he can do it? Okay, I do. I believe he can do it. Okay, so let's do 3, 2, 1, and let's see it, okay? All right, you ready? Everyone together. 3, 2, 1. Whoa! Whoa! What the man! But well, no, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
100.
Yeah. Now, Caleb, that was impressive. Okay, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. But I got another one. Now, this one is going to be the real test. This is going to be the real test. Caleb, hold on. Oh, yeah. Now, Caleb, this is going to be the real test, okay? This is the one I want you to see if you can do it. How many people believe that Caleb can put this one up over his head? Okay, less. Look at that. Okay, so let's get a little countdown. 3, 2, 1. Oh, that wasn't hard at all, was it? Okay, that wasn't hard at all. Thank you. Have a go see. Good job, Caleb. Okay, so what's your problem? You believe Christ rose from the dead, and you struggle believing that he can conquer your sin in your life. Let me tell you, the Savior who came out of the tomb can take care of anything you're going through in your life. You know, it amazes me. We say that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we do not allow that power to come in behind our pulpit. We do not allow that power to come in over victory in our life. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, I don't know if this is going to... Come on. Whatever you've got doesn't compare to conquering death. And our Savior conquered death. If he's a risen Savior, he's living. He can handle anything that's going on in your church. He can handle anything that's going on in your family. There's never going to be anything. He is a living Savior who conquered death. I wrote this down. If he's alive, we have victory. You just got to turn. We're coming back to Genesis in a minute, but you've just got to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We've got to understand who we're going to be bold about. And in 1 Corinthians 15, many of you can quote it, but I'll just start reading in verse 55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can be bold. We can be bold because we know that our Savior is alive. Now, I tell you what, I've done a lot of funerals. And there is something at a gravesite that is unlike any other religion. Hindus don't have it at gravesites. Muslims do not have it at a cemetery. Mormons don't have it. Catholics don't have it. But I'm going to tell you who does have it. Christians have it at a gravesite. Because when we commit that body to the ground, there may be sorrow, but it is not sorrow without hope. And Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. That if Christ was planted into the tomb and he came out, guess what? We are too. We can be bold. Gang, we have already conquered death through the risen Savior of Jesus Christ. What a moment that had to be when Jacob found out Joseph is living. But I got to tell you, friend, get back to Genesis chapter 45. That is not the only thing that he found out that day. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And notice the next statement. And he is, everyone together, governor. He is governor over all the land. Let me tell you, not only was he living, but he was Lord. He was the Lord. Outside of Pharaoh himself, no one had more power than Zephaniah, which was Joseph. Joseph had all of the authority and all of the power. You didn't get food. You didn't get protection. You didn't get provision. He would have been the second most powerful person on planet Earth during these times of famine. That was Joseph. Joseph is not only a picture of a living Savior. Joseph is a picture of our Lord. And he is Lord. You know why we can be bold? Is because our Savior is still in control. I was looking at these verses in Acts chapter 4, and we'll get more into this tomorrow. But just listen to this for just a moment. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of the servant of David, and they continue on. You know what they recognized? You know what gave them their boldness in the early church? They didn't only realize that Jesus was living, They realized that he was the Lord and that he was in control. He is still the creator. We are still the creation. And he is still the potter and we are still the clay. I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what's happening in your life tonight, but he is still the Lord. He is still in control. Now, I got to tell you, my wife will say this to you. Jim just can't watch the news anymore. I'm just telling you, I just can't watch news. It just gets me so messed up. I mean, it doesn't matter what's news agency, it doesn't matter what it is. And I got to stop and I got to say, wait a second. Hey, Jim, who's the Lord? Trump? No. The Democrats? No. CNN? Maybe sometimes. No. Jim, the Lord is in control. And the Lord is in control of our country. Matter of fact, I'm going to just tell you this. On November 7th, 2016, God did something. We knew that our answer was never going to be the White House. We knew that our answer was never going to be government. But I am telling you something. Since that night, I do believe that God has given us a space of grace that if we are not bold for our faith during this time, we will not only lose our country, we are going to lose some of the greatest opportunities. And we say it all the time, but I am telling you the honest truth. Our country is so dark, so tense, so needing of Jesus Christ. Now, if you cannot witness, now, this is like witnessing for Easter. If you cannot be bold now for your Savior Jesus Christ, gang, you ain't never going to be bold. He is in control, and he's given us a space of grace. He is not only living, he is the Lord. He's the potter. We are the clay. Allow God to work. I think Simeon had to walk in, and I think he came in and says, Dad, you're not going to believe this. I know, Simeon. It's been a while since I've seen you. But Simeon, I know. Joseph is living. Hey, Dad, not only is he living, but Dad, he's the Lord. He's the Lord over everything over there. He's the governor. We all bow down to him. Remember the dreams he had, Dad? He is the Lord. He's the governor. About that time, I think Judah comes in. Now, this is the way I pictured it up in my office, okay? I think Judah came in. I think Judah's just bawling. I think Judah's got tears because Judah is the one who put him in the pit and Judah is the one who sold Joseph. And I think Judah comes in and he says, Dad, you're not going to believe this. Judah, come here. Dad, you're not going to believe it. I know, I just heard. Joseph is living. Oh yeah, Dad, he's living. But let me tell you something. I heard Simeon told me he's like the Lord. Oh, Dad, not only is he living, not only is he Lord, Daddy loves us. Daddy loves us. In spite of what we did, Dad, in spite of what we did, he loves us, Dad. He forgave me, Dad. He forgave me of what I did. He forgave all of us. Dad, not only is Joseph living, not only is he Lord, but Dad, he loves us. I want to tell you all something, friend. Jesus Christ loves you. You came to this conference, you know why? Because God loves you. He wanted you to hear what you heard. He wants a relationship with you. I'll tell you what, I'll be bold for somebody who loves me. How about you? You know what? My wife, I was teasing about sound the battle cry. I don't have a better friend than my wife, Marilee. Marilee and I are the absolute best friends. I could not make it without Marilee. And you know what? I'll stand up for my wife. I'll be bold for my wife. My wife loves me, and I love her, and I'll be bold for her. Well, what about your Savior, Jesus Christ? You know what? How can you not be bold for the Son of God who cares for you and loves you? And I want to just stop here and say this. You know, we had quite a message today on personal separation. I think you've heard some other things this week as well. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know where you are spiritually and what things you've allowed in your life, but I do want you to know that Jesus Christ still loves you, and this conference might be your last chance, my friend. He does love you. He does care for you, and he wants a relationship with you. I think Judah had to come in with tears streaming down his cheeks. Dad, the guy we hated, the guy we were so jealous of, he loves us. Well, about that time, now I don't know who it was, but I think it's Levi. Now, I picture Levi as a big guy. Okay, you know, the priestly tribe, a lot of chicken, whatever, you know. I don't know why, but I just picture Levi as a big guy. And I got Levi coming in, and he said, Dad, you ain't gonna believe this. I know Levi. I've heard Levi, it's amazing. I've heard Joseph is living. Oh yeah, Dad, Joseph's living, yeah, but better than that. Oh no, I heard he's like the Lord over there. Oh yeah, Dad, he's the Lord. I'm telling you, man, he's got everything under control. And Judah told me that he loves, oh yeah, Dad, he loves us. But Dad, not only is he living, not only is he Lord, not only does he love us, Dad, he's longing for us. He's longing for us. He's preparing a place over in Goshen for us. He's getting it all ready for us. Hey, Dad, we're moving, man. We're getting out of this old desert, and we're moving to Goshen land. And Joseph's preparing it all. Well, I can't think of a better thought than in an upper room on the night before he dies, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Hey, can I tell you, gang? Whatever's happening in your ministry, your life, it's all going to come to pass soon, all right? Jesus is longing for us. And we're on our way to heaven. Let's act like we're on our way to heaven. Let's act like we're the redeemed. We're the chosen generation. We have a place. This is not our home. We are strangers and pilgrims. Our flag isn't the American flag nearly as much as it's the banner of the cross. Man, we got to understand, we're just here for a short time. We're moving out of here. Why not be bold? You only got a short time. I have found in my life that places that I'm only at for a short time, I tend to be bolder. I didn't like, hey man, I'm leaving in a week. I'm leaving in a day. Hey, this is my, you know what? I'm taking another flight. I might as well be bold to this person in the airport right now. I'll probably never see him again. Why not be bold? Let me tell you something. He's longing for us to come to heaven. We don't have much time. You better be bold and you better be right now. So I'm up in my office and I'm sorry, but I'm just kind of thinking about this whole thing. And then I'm picturing this. And old Jacob, he's just like, this is amazing. This is just unbelievable. I can't handle this anymore. Matter of fact, he even says, that's enough. You guys got to stop telling me. You say one more good thing, I'm going to die. Okay? And he does. He says it right there in that scripture. He says, it's enough. I can't handle it anymore. Have you ever had a day like that? Not me. I've had days where like, okay, I cannot handle any more bad news. But I've never had a day like, hey, are you here to tell me good news? Well, yeah. I can't handle it. I don't want to hear that. Okay, I haven't had that day yet. I'm sorry. That hasn't come. But Jacob says, he says, it's enough, I can't handle it. But here's what I think. I think Benjamin comes in. Now, Brother Scheller, Benjamin should have came in first because he's the youngest. Yeah, but Benjamin was carrying a lot of stuff. I mean, I think he looks like this. Dad! And I think old Jacob, when he sees Benjamin, oh, Benjamin. Oh, Benjamin. Oh, Benjamin. Hey, Dad, you ain't going to believe this. I know. Your brother, Joseph, is living. Oh, yeah, Dad, he's living. But let me just tell you. Oh, I heard he's the Lord. Oh, yeah, Dad. Okay, yeah, he's the Lord. But, Dad, let me just tell you something. And I heard Benjamin, he loves us. Dad, he's always loved me, man. I always know he loved me. Big deal on that, you know. Oh, and he's longing for us. Oh, Dad, let me tell you, not only is he living, not only is he Lord, not only does he love us, not only is he longing for us, Dad, he's loaded. Dad, he's loaded. Dad, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Dad, he says it, it happens. Dad, he can supply all of our need and all of our want according to his riches from Pharaoh. I'm telling you, he's got it. He's loaded. And you know what? I can be bold for that kind of Savior. And that Savior will take care of any need that you have, my friend. Our Savior is loaded. Hey, we gotta be bold, grace. Who are we being bold about, friend? When you get the right picture of Jesus Christ and you know who your Savior is, you know what? You can stand up for him. You can stand up for a living Savior. You can stand up for the Lord of glory. My friend, you better be able to be bold for someone who loves you. You better be able to be bold for someone you're going to spend eternity with, and he's longing for you. And man, come on. Let's tell the world that he's loaded. Because whatever they need, Jesus Christ is that. I think about that passage in Matthew chapter 11. There is no person that has ever lived on planet Earth that could say these words. There's no way Socrates could have said this. Confucius, you ain't got a chance. Buddha, you could have never said these words. And I'm sorry, but you will never get in the Quran Muhammad saying these words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If our country ever needed a promise and a person, it is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Gun laws aren't going to provide that. It ain't going to happen. No policy, no government rule, and no politician, no educator, no amount of money in a tax refund will ever do what Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now hear this. There has never been a time that our country is more open to the need for a Savior than right now. You show and display a proper bold grace, not a militant boldness. It ain't gonna work, friend, but a proper bold grace that's gonna be talked about tomorrow. And I am telling you, this world is reachable still. This country is reachable because people's hearts are searching. If we're gonna zip the lip now, we're gonna lose one of the greatest opportunities in human history. We have got to become bold with the grace of God. And we've got a great Savior to give them, man. We got a great Savior to give them. He's living. He's Lord. He loves them. He's longing to have them spend eternity with them. And he's loaded. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. More than a decision tonight, needs to be a change of heart about what we're telling you to be bold for. Do you love Jesus? As we look at Acts 4 tomorrow, it all starts in Acts 3 when Peter and John go up to the temple and they say, what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What is that? Jesus. Gang, what the world needs is Jesus Christ. You have him. Get out there and be bold for him. Friend, never have we needed a generation of people to get Jesus Christ out there. And friend, if you're struggling with something, he loves you. He's longing for you, and he's the Lord. He can work it out. How can you be bitter of this God? Well, I just don't think he's power. He rose from the dead. You have a living Savior. Act like it. Live your life in the light of this Christ. And my friend, our world is redeemable. Oh, there will be those that reject, just like there were in Acts 4. But there will be 5,000 men that received Christ because a group of believers were bold about a Savior who was alive and loved them. I encourage you tonight, more than anything else, many of you have made decisions all day long. Praise the Lord. But right now, have a taste of Jesus Christ in your heart. See Christ high and lifted up, for that is the one I want to spend the rest of my life being bold for. Father, I take a moment and I pray for this church. Lord, we will never know all the people behind the scenes that put this conference on from Falls Baptist Church. Thank you for them. For a pastor that has a humility and yet such a determination. He is a meek man. He's power under control. Thank you for an under shepherd in Brother Van Gilderen. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the many pastors that are here. But dear God, it's not about a church or a college or a pastor. It's about a risen Savior. And I pray in Jesus Christ's name that we will leave this conference bold for the God of heaven who wants to have a relationship with me and with them. Thank you for being everything we could ever dream, everything we could ever ask. Above all of those, thank you. And you give us an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If there are ministers, workers, servants of God, students that are laboring, may they come to a risen Savior tonight and lay it at his feet, knowing that he's loaded, he'll take care of them. I pray these things in Jesus' name.